The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we'll be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 12th day of January, 2022 and 23, right? Okay.
Yes.
And there... In our newly weaponized war room, on the other side of the glass, we have none other than Courageous Craig. And tonight he's appearing with style.
That's the one.
There you go, right? Should I explain that? Uh-oh, no. Here, live. Live in the studio, not because they weren't invited anyplace else. Well, maybe. It's none other than Radical Randy.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
Okay. And Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
She gets to sit in the whole program tonight. Normally, I shoo her out of here, but tonight she gets to sit in now. And we have out there, all the way from the state of Taxachusetts, the woman who is with the Education Through Design Divinity 7, none other than Ronnie Carter. Hey, Ronnie.
Hello there, Pastor Sanders. Good to see you all.
Good to have you here with us tonight. We have a whole lot to do, so we're going to get right to it, okay? The title of the message, who remembers the title of the message this week? You don't remember, do you? I spent all that time putting that message together, and the title of the message is God's Word versus Man's Opinion on Who is a Jew. And so we were going through this, and I'm just going to read a little bit of the commentary before we get started. And we've had some interesting conversations where some people have had some disagreements. So, Randy, you were there when you saw that. So I told them, we're going to settle this argument. There's only one source of information, documentation, that is inerrant. We know it's truthful. It's the only source that we can absolutely positively count on. And that's the Word of God. And God said that, right?
That's correct.
Heaven and earth have passed, but his words will never change, huh?
Yes.
And so there are those out there that believe that the Jews can do no wrong. There are others out there that believe that they can do no good. We talked about John Hagee and Tex Mars. There are those that believe that that there are no real Jews, but all are simply half-breeds, like the Samaritans, the Herodians, the Khazars. There are those that believe that all professing to be Jews are Jews. There are those that believe that we should not witness to the Jews because they're saved by lineage. John Hagee was one of those, too. There are those that believe that the church has replaced Israel, and we are spiritual Israel, or covenant, or replacement theology. There are those that believe that Jesus was not a Jew. And that's right, believe it or not, folks. There are those that believe that all born-again Christians have a Jew living inside of them. Now, when I was teaching the class and I said that, people laughed because they didn't understand it. There are those that believe that Hebrew is the language of heaven. So we're going to take a look at all of these tonight. And where we left off was over in John chapter 14. Now here, that John Hagee believes that Jews don't need to be saved, that they don't need to be saved, that they're saved by lineage. Well, we started out in John 10, 1 through 10, and John 3, 1 through 6, and both of them said pretty much you must be born again. all men, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And now, so we're going to start tonight in John 14. So, Randy, read verses 5 through 14. And as we go through this, Ronnie, if you have a question or comment, just jump in.
All right. Well, here we go. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. For henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou you then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
All right, now, Ronnie, just make sure you're just, if you have a question or comment, just jump in as we go through here. Now, here, Jesus here is saying it's the only way because, one, he is both God and man, correct? And he says what? Jesus is the invisible, tangible, the visible, tangible image of the invisible God. Is that what he was telling Philip?
Yes, yes.
Because, and how is it? Because he said the Father is in me. Okay, you see me, but the Father is in me. So the Father is invisible, but he's visible through me, right?
Yeah, he said if you've seen me, you've yes. seen the Father.
Okay. And now Jesus also, when he says this, when he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So what do you think he meant by greater works?
Numerically. I don't think that it'll be beyond what Jesus did, like in terms of healing the sick, raising the dead, and those things.
No, the greatest work. What is the greatest work? Christ died and suffered upon that cross for one specific reason, and that was to
redeem
mankind. Yes. So remember, what is the Great Commission?
Go into the world and preach the gospel unto every creature.
Okay, so yes. Can people get saved unless they hear the gospel repent and receive Christ?
No.
So that's the greater works he was talking about that you would do here. And He says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, so if I prayed for a Learjet tonight, would I get it?
If it was in the name of Jesus for his sake, yeah.
Okay. So if it was within God's will, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what he's referring to. Did they all understand that when he spoke, he meant that was whatever was in the will of the Father?
That's right.
A lot of people don't understand that. Prosperity preachers don't, do they?
No, of course not.
You see.
They believe in the carte blanche.
Yes.
No, for example, Kenneth Copeland believes that you can take what we just read here, and you can literally force God to give you material things with that passage. Okay. But that's not what it's saying, is it?
No.
That's right.
What do you think of all that, Ronnie?
Oh, Pastor, you're talking about me. It's just phenomenal. I'm the complete Jew that you're talking about, the spiritual Jew, the Jew born as a Jew. I've come to Christ and never been the same since. My whole life has changed, and it's just been an incredible new birth experience, as if it was just today.
Well, we had a number of people within our church over the years who were also born again, completed Jews, and they received Christ and eternal life, but they lost a lot of their family. Were you infected that way with any of your relatives?
Yes. Do you know, I wonder if people know, do you know what it costs to be a Jew and then to come to Christ? You're going to lose everything. That basically is what happens. But you know, as Paul said, remember when he gave his pedigree in Philippians? Chapter 3, and he said he's a Benjamite and Pharisee of Pharisees, studied under Hillel, gave his whole story. Pastor, I was just like Paul. I was the best student in my class in Hebrew school. I grew up in the lineage of, on my mother's side, we have from the priest of Levi, the high priest. On my father's side, the line of Judah. Both sides were rabbis. My father was a rabbi. My father's father was a rabbi. My grandfather was a rabbi. I came from this lineage just like Paul. And when I came to Christ, I said just what he said. I counted it all but dung, but to have Christ. You know, we couldn't even say the word Christ. You're not allowed to as a Jewish person. You could say Jesus. They don't really like that too well. But if you say Christ, you're not allowed to say that word. When I went back to Hebrew school to say, you know, hello to my former teachers, the rabbis, they can't talk to you. I came back and I was so excited. I said, hey, I believe in Yeshua. He's Mashiach. I believe this now. They walk away. It's just, you know, my family went crazy. They wanted to send me to a psychiatrist. They thought I was in a cult. Oh, I could go on and on telling you stories. But there's no greater joy. There is no joy. There's no fullness of joy except in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I say Jesus Christ all the time, Yeshua HaMashiach and Christ. And, you know, I'm free from the bondage. So, yeah, I experienced it, and it was worth it. I would do it all again. And I'm praying for the rest of my family members that they'll have that same experience and be free from that same bondage.
We'll pray for that, too. We will pray for that, too.
Thank you.
And so here, he goes out. I wanted to go over because there are those that believe that the church has replaced Israel. Well, there's a little problem with that. By the way, when I was in Israel, I ran into some Orthodox Jews, and we had some quite conversations. And but they believe Christ is the Messiah. They believe, but they're still trying to mix the laws with grace, and you can't mix law and grace. In other words, they believe what the Judaizers believe, that by your faith in Christ and keeping the laws of Moses, you find salvation. And don't work that way, does it?
No.
You must be talking about the Messianic Jews.
Well, no, these guys, every one of them, they're considered to be Orthodox. They call themselves Orthodox Rabbi, because I was surprised.
Yes.
When they said that, and I'm not talking about the Messianic Jews, I'm talking about the Orthodox. These guys, you know, they go the whole route, and the curls and all, and Like I said, and they're kind of very short when you tell them you can't mix water and oil. You can't, you know, you're either by grace or under the law. But that's what they believe. But
yeah, it's a very different dynamic in Israel. And when you're Orthodox, mostly everybody's Orthodox there. Over here in America, we have all different divisions within Judaism. But when you're Orthodox and you come to Christ, or as they say, Yeshua in Hebrew, you have to hide. In some cases, there's a lot of danger. Some people fear for their lives. Some Jewish believers still go to Orthodox synagogue because they want to be part of the community, their Jewish community. They don't want to lose what they had. They're afraid of the danger and the persecution by their own fellow Jews. They don't really fit with the Christians because they're Jews. It's tough. It's tough over there. It's tough here in the United States, but not like that. It's really, I don't know if that, you know, that could be part of what you're getting at, but yeah, I know people who go through really persecution among their own people.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They just don't understand.
We saw that. I was in a Baptist church there that had been bombed 14 times. And boy, the place was unbelievable the way that they had to have it. It was like a fort trying to get in and out.
Wow.
But and some of the strongest Christians that I ran into were the Palestinian Christians, and they were getting it from all sides. But it was really something that but that's the days we're living in here. When in this country today, like when they call themselves the conservative Jews, they're not really very conservatives. And and just like the apostate church here, like the World International Council of Churches, the so-called liberal Judaism, they're just communists. They're just communists. That's all they are. I mean, they're not really some of the things that they were doing. Like, for example, I was talking to someone, the comedian Joan Rivers. When she died at her funeral, they were telling dirty jokes, and this is, you know, I mean, but these all considered themselves to be Jews, okay? Like Whoopi Goldberg, for example. She is one of the most unsaved people you'll ever I don't know if you can get it any more unsaved than Whoopi, okay? She's anti-Christ, very, very vulgar, but she calls herself a Jew, a conservative Jew. She's no more a Jew than I'm a Muslim, and so... But let's go here over now. There are those that believe, Ronnie, that the church has replaced Israel. We're talking about the covenant or replacement theology. Mm-hmm. Randy, let's go to Romans chapter 11. Would you read me verses 1 all the way through, actually through 16.
Romans 11, 1 to 16, okay. One more flip here and I'm there. Okay. God's love for Israel. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would not ye what the scripture saith of Elias, or that's Elijah, whom he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars. I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it is of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more works.
I'm going to have to stop there because I noticed the time on the clock. So I'm going to offer up a prayer tonight. One of our area pastors from the Gospel House, Bob Seplovich, I understand, has had a heart attack and is in the hospital, and friends of his have called me and asked me if we would pray for him tonight over the air. So we're going to do that right now, and also pray for the radio program to keep through so that we don't lose any of those. We get all those calls from those people begging us to stay on the air, and it's really out of our hands now. It's up to the people, and it's up to the good Lord, and somebody out there may have extremely deep pockets so he could keep those six states on the air. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to hold up Pastor Bobby. He's been around for a very, very long time, Lord, and here I know that he's got many, many people praying for him. So the folks out there all over this country, remember what the Word of God says. Pray unceasing. Pray unceasingly, without ceasing. But again, the Bible says much prayer, much power. And everybody listening to me right now, every single person either needs prayer now or they will need it. And Scripture tells you very clearly, those that show mercy receive it. So right now, if you would join with me and pray for Pastor Bob, the day that comes when you'll need that prayer, there'll be people praying for you. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just would ask that you would touch Bob, Father God, and you would bless him in every area where he can receive that blessing, that he might receive a complete and total healing. And Lord, that you would turn his desire towards you more and more every day in every way in all things, completely and totally, Lord. And you would be a comfort at this time to his family and friends. This we ask in Jesus' name. And Lord, too, again, we do pray that you, again, Lord, we know that it would take a miracle for us to keep those six states on the air. And we know we only have like 13 days to do it. But God, we know that's your expertise is miracles. So we're just going to ask, Lord, if it be your will, that you would provide that. And if not, well, then not. And so these things we ask in the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
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 And so with that, we're going to go to a break, and then we come back. And Ronnie, we want you to tell us all about, well, we want you to tell us all about your organization there. We want to find out
Thank you.
What that means. So we'll be back right after this.
World Tour sees this opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order where brutality will go unrewarded.
Just in case you don't remember, let me jog your memory. In a church they called the Waco Compound back in April 93, 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children. Don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children. How could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? As 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames, Attorney General Janet Reno. I accept your offer to resign. How can you stand for law and order now when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children, how many names can you recall? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? I've heard it said the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved. Yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. Yesterday I sold my TV set, stop my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the media was an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your
All righty, we're back, and folks, that's what happens when federal agents go rogue, when federal agents become totally lawless. We saw that. We saw the same thing at Ruby Ridge. And at Waco, we had some pastors there that were up with field glasses, and they were witnessing. And when they saw that they found them there, they ran them out. And we were directly involved with Ruby Ridge, this radio ministry, as it was happening. Lifetime, we were directly involved with Ruby Ridge. I wanted to say this, too, just before we get going, a couple things. Announcements, this coming Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 4 p.m., well, first of all, you know, the regular time, morning service. Bible study starts at 8:30. It's an in-depth Bible study. There's two Bible studies, one from 8:30 to 9:30, another from 9:30 to 10:30. And then we have the morning service starts at 11:15, and then afterwards we have another class, a Bible class, at 1 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock we have here the Bible and Current Events, the Bible and Current Events. And we're going to be showing Sasha Latipova along with Lara Logan, and they're going to be talking about how the Department of Defense is directly leading this whole thing, the COVID and the whole depopulation organization, the depopulation of the United States. That's our department. This direct goes directly to the Department of Defense. And folks, you'll see that. You'll see the documentation on that. And so, and one other thing very quickly before we get into with Ronnie is that you saw what happened last week when they passed the legislation where they voted on for the babies that survived attempted murder of abortion. Those that were Preborn, how after, well, back in the early 1980s, what happened was you had 100 senators vote on those babies that survived abortion, they called the survival, that they would be given all the medical treatment they could get to help them, those that survived that attempted. And there was only one senator that voted against it. His name was Barack Obama, the most wicked Antichrist senator in the entire Senate. Now, here, just recently, this past week, we had the vote, and 100% of the Republicans all voted in favor of passing the bill to survive the children. Two Democrats voted. One voted present, the other voted against it, for the pro-life bill. But all of the rest of the Democrats voted to let the babies put them on a shelf, like Barack Obama said. Those things were never meant to live anyhow. Put them on a shelf and let them die. That's what he said. And so here, what I'd like to have you do, because God's word, the Bible, is very, very clear. We read that yesterday. I read it out of Revelation chapter 20, where it says that those, because of your works, you would be cast into the lake of fire where you'd be tormented forever and ever. And so what I'd like to have you folks do, you see, you're, as a Christian out there, the Great Commission is there, but you are commissioned, if you will, to preach the gospel in season and out, to reprove, to rebuke, and exhort. Now, these senators, because of their works, according to the word of God, are on a fast track to the lake of fire. That's where they're headed, these congressmen, I should say. And so what you need to do is you need to call as many Democrats as you can and tell them that, according to the word of God, God's word, the Bible, because of your works, you are on track, you're on a road to the lake of fire. And that's the actual gospel truth. And so they need to hear that. You see, and if enough people listen to me, Ronnie, if you were to get 10 or 15 phone calls from people out there saying you're on a track to the lake of fire to burn in hell for eternity, would that make you stop and wonder?
Yes.
Might that put the fear of God into you?
I would sure hope so.
And bring you to repentance. Well, that's why what we're out here to do. And so, folks, the number that you would call is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. One more time, 202-224-3121. And just tell those, just leave a message with the aides when they answer and say he needs to know or she needs to know. According to the word of God, now, not many preachers out there will preach this because the vast majority of them simply don't have the courage. They're afraid. They're more scared of the government than they are of God, okay? But we're supposed to do that, and I praise the good Lord for those pastors that have got the courage to stand up and grow some backbone, okay? And so here, call again, 202-224-3121, and tell them, according to the word of God, the inerrant word of God, you're on your way to the lake of fire because of your works. You need to repent or you'll burn. And with that, Ronnie, tell us about Education Through Design and Divinity 7.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Cinder. It's an honor to be able to share and to share on the program with you. So thank you. May I start with a blessing, actually, following up on your prayer. I think it'll, to understand what we do, I would love for you to understand more about what we're passionate about and who we are and how God has gifted us, and we're so grateful. So if I may just share a scripture and sing a prayer, I'd like to do it in Hebrew and in English, and really to bless you, to pray for healing for the pastor that you mentioned, to pray for blessing for your radio program. When we heard that potentially five or six stations may be going off the air. We said, oh, no, no, it's supposed to be increasing, not decreasing.
Amen.
So we just pray that you'll be blessed and increase more and more. That's what the Bible says. And so I want to pray the priestly blessing, a couple things. Third John, chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So we pray that for you. We pray that for the pastor you mentioned. We pray that for everybody listening and all your community. And we pray for great blessings. The Aaronic blessing, the highest blessing in the Bible, is what Aaron, which was of the high priest line and the voice of Moses, prayed. And at the time, of course, as you know, nobody was allowed to pray this blessing except the high priest or the Levitical line. Well, praise be to God that we are now high priests with Jesus Christ. So I want to say it and sing it to you the way they do it and pray this blessing upon you. And then I'll continue with our, you know, explaining about our work. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivrechecha Adonai Vayishmerecha Ya'er Adonai Panavelecha Vihunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Viyasem Lecha Shalom. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Thank you. So we are a team that are educators, we're artists and designers, and we fuse the two together to bring a message mentally, emotionally, spiritually, educationally, through poetry and prose and artwork and services. So we have three divisions of our company. Each relate to this overall theme that we educate through design, and we design through education. So I want to share a few examples of some of our work. And if you go to our, I'll be glad to give the websites whenever you think that's appropriate so people can see the work, because, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. And the first, the overall company, 3D7 Education Through Design, is all of the design aspect. So we have artwork that is designed with a message in mind.
Well, Ronnie, could you give it now? Yeah. Maybe some people could follow along with you. Could they do that?
Sure, yes.
Okay. So then why don't you give your thing now for people who are online, and then they can follow you as you speak.
All right, absolutely. So if you go to 3d7ed.com, it's the number 3, the letter D like David, the number 7, the letter E like education, and the letter D like David again. So 3d7ed.com. That one will take you to 3D7 Education Through Design, and you'll see a whole sampling of our works, everything from 2D paintings to 3D structures, children's characters, lettering that we call the signature, fanciful artwork, and just a whole range of work. We're just so blessed and grateful to be able to work in a lot of different areas. And you'll notice each has a cause or a message or a didactic teaching or a poem or a prose. And that's really a lot of what we advocate through this work. I'll give you an example. One of them is a 3D structure called In Support Of. And it's in support of finding cures for all diseases and all ailments. There's a little prose that goes with that. So faith, healthy lifestyle, science, and research together yield a cure. Come together. So that's the ISO. The other one is the As Little Children collection. And you may look at that and you'll see a couple of videos on there. We hope you enjoy. They're on our YouTube channel, but they're also on our website, so you can get it either way. If you go to YouTube and you put in at the at symbol 3D7ed, 3D7ED again, you'll see some videos. So we had the wonderful privilege of trying out some animation, and it was quite a learning experience, quite an adventure. It took quite a number of years, but we put together some children's characters, and each one of them have a message, and there's an overall message. And I'll read to you the overall poem, and I think you'll hear some significance in this. So it's called As Little Children. As little children, we all must come and drink of the brook of life as one, with fun. This world was given a gift to us, a gift indeed, given in trust, that we as people could get along, to be sure everyone in this world belonged, of one flesh, one blood, one mind, humankind. As with little or with much, this world you can touch. Every child that you see is a child you should be, to better understand how great is the demand, to raise the standard of our giving for the children who are yet living, being once young ones and now older ones. For it was not by chance that we as children advanced, but by a grace, an amazing grace. So that's the overall poem for the As Little Children collection, and you'll see a video of Cal and Pal, and there's a lot of different characters. We have Saddle Up and Giddy Up, who stand for literacy. We have Cal and Pal, who are always working for a cause. We have Noelani, who gets her pieces all mixed up, and then she rearranges it and puts it all together. So different aspects of life that kids go through, and even adults. So this is really, our work is designed with children in mind, and also for adults who have a childlike heart. Because we know, as Jesus said, except you come into the kingdom as little children, you won't enter in. And what do children do? You just mentioned it earlier, Pastor Sanders, that there's fear. There's a lot of fear in leadership, in our society, among people, even among the body of Christ. Children, you know, they don't seem to have fear. They'll jump, and then we have to tell them, wait, stop. They don't have guile. They don't hold grudges. But when we get older, we start to experience these maladies. So we create and design with children in mind. And for the childlike nature that we wish to awaken, we know that all of us are designed and created to become who God designed us to become. That is our purpose, and that is our desire, that there would be inspiration and encouragement through this artwork. We use the artwork in a lot of different settings, in schools, in churches, we work internationally, we work in public schools, private schools, Christian schools, Jewish schools, Islamic schools, we go everywhere. So we have the wonderful joy of partnering with a lot of different schools and organizations to share the artwork, bless them with services and resources, so educational resources and tools that people can use, teachers can use in the classroom. And also we do consulting, helping to improve education and build capacity of the educators to better serve the students' needs. So that's where the next piece comes in. But let me just pause there because I want to talk about Divinity 7 and then Learning Lens, and I can talk more about some of the other educational resources and biblical educational resources as well. Do you have any questions, or do you want me to expand on anything there?
No, I'm following right along.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next division, right, is called Divinity 7. That's our biblical education division. So where you'll see some of the artwork on 3D7ED, on Divinity 7, it's all biblical. You're going to see scripture and illustrations, images, and Bible verses. And we fuse design with messages. So we use the Word of God in our Divinity 7 artwork to merge art and truth. So you can go to that website if you like, divinity7.org. So divinity like a divinity school, D-I-V-I-N-I-T-Y, the number 7.org, divinity7.org. We have a beautiful piece it took a few years to create, and it was an incredible assembly project. It's been evolving into a number of different materials. It started out as a large artwork print, very large, with a lot of images, and it tells the story of salvation. It's called God's Blueprint Divine for the Salvation of Humankind. And as you go through the different scenes, there's squares. All of the content is on the website for free. So educators, families, homeschoolers, anybody, go look at it and use it. Feel free. But if you want to buy the artwork, you can also feel free to do that. The artwork goes in scenes. There's a collection of 14 scenes, 1 through 13, and then ending with the scene of Calvary. And it goes starting from, not from the birth of Jesus. It starts from the Garden of Eden, at the fall of humanity, and gets into, and all it is scriptures, just scriptures rearranged. We took excerpt from scriptures, reordered some scriptures, and we're telling the story in more of a narrative way, but with scripture. So it gets into that. Then we go into the visitation, birth of Jesus, the baptism, all the different miracles that Jesus did, a number of different examples. And then we see Jesus in Gethsemane. And again, you're seeing scriptures, you know, to capture the story. And Christ beaten, battered, bruised. And of course, in glory, he lands in the resurrection and in the seated at the right hand of God. So there's a couple scenes there. And it ends with a vision of Calvary. This whole panorama is connected, all these different scenes are connected by little crosses. So this is a teaching tool. Each of those little crosses represent the pathway through the scenes, and it could be even additional scenes, because we didn't put the whole Bible in there, of course, just representative scenes that really told the narrative. So this could be used as a tremendous teaching tool to then go and study the scriptures. We included reference scriptures as well as information about other scenes that you could go and study. So I'll just read a little excerpt.
And what you're talking about, yes, that's what you put in that post or that chart that you sent.
Right.
Yes.
You've got all of those in there. That's very, very interesting. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And we definitely wanted you to see that. There's nothing like seeing it, and it all comes together. And, you know, in the early days, I'll just share a little personal story. In the early days of putting this together, we would do it, and, you know, it's one thing to sit there and assemble the pieces and put the pictures together. We did this all by hand, and putting the pieces together, putting the scriptures, putting the cross, laying down the crosses by hand. And then we stopped and we took a step back and we read it. And when you read from beginning to end, I could not get to the end without crying. It needs to be really relished and pause and take your time. You know how it says in the Psalm, Selah. There's a lot of Selah moments in this piece, and that's our intent, is really to study and feel it and think about Jesus and what he did for us and God and his overwhelming love for us. And that's our goal, is to inspire people and to do it through study. So, yes, so you have the poster, the puzzle. Now we have a puzzle, so that's very new, and we're very excited about that. It's our first entree into doing puzzles. And we have a lot of other big dreams for other possibilities for what this will become.
Now, that's the puzzle with the 198 pieces, right?
Yes. So
yeah,
you saw
okay.
that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did it. I wanted to feel what it felt like to be a child putting this puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're doing a puzzle, it's just pictures, just artwork. It's kind of fun. And you put the border around first, if we remember back to childhood. It's different than the strategy to doing that puzzle is different than the usual puzzle. You literally have to read the scriptures and get a sense of what's going on in the whole panorama in order to do the puzzle and to figure it out. So I was very excited about that, because that was our hope. But, you know, you got to test it out, of course. And so that will also be a really useful teaching tool, perhaps for Sunday school, Christian schools, you know, families and homeschool, wherever it may be. So I'll read another poem, just brief, if I may. The central poem, everything else is scripture, but there's one poem that we wrote that's central to the whole piece. And honestly, this is central to all of our work. So it's the Calvary poem. From his humble birth, baptism, temptation, to the many miracles he performed here on earth, Gethsemane, beaten, battered, bruised, railed upon, crowned with thorns, and made to carry his own tree. Each accomplishment a vision of Calvary, the cross, Golgotha, the sepulcher. Christ withheld nothing, but rather gave all for our salvation. Likewise, let us withhold nothing and give all for Calvary. So this is the thrust of our work. This is really the core of our hearts. This is why we do what we do. And this is the message that we bring, whether it's something that includes scripture or not, whether it's artwork or whether we're working with schools in a public school setting where we don't use scripture, but we can bring our spirit, our joy, our personhood, our witness, even without saying anything. We can bring our lives to people to hopefully inspire and to know that this is why we're here. It's all about purpose. So number three, what I want to share is Learning Lens is another division. That's our consulting division. And that's where we partner with schools and districts, organizations, families, to strategically transform learning environments. So I'll give you another website, and this is LLens. So instead of Learning Lens, it's just L for the first letter, L for learning, and then lens, LLens.org. So that's where you can learn a little bit more about me and my background, which comes from the education field. We do consulting with schools all over the world and here in the United States, and as I said, all different environments. And one of the really exciting recent adventures that we're working on, there's going to be a book coming out very soon. That's a new adventure for us, so we're praying about that. And through our work, we do a lot of professional development, and this is where we work directly with teachers, with leaders. We do strategic planning, working with, you know, helping them to help kids understand the content or help them to learn better or to do curriculum development or assessment development, whatever it may be that would be helpful for schools and or families and or the leaders and helping them in their capacity. So one of the recent ideas that is it's in pilot stage right now. We have a Christian school and a couple other schools that we're talking to that are trying out this new model. It's a new model for learning. It's called Become, a transformational learning model for such a time as this. Now, in the course of our career, and especially in, you know, a lot of our background with doing professional development all over the world and working in schools, and myself, I used to be an assistant superintendent in a school district and have leadership experience, and I started a school, a project-based learning STEM school, so I have I'm so grateful. I've had many, many, many wonderful experiences in the education world. What I'm noticing and what I'm seeing is that there's a great focus on right or wrong answers, performing. Almost like legalism in the Bible, the education has an equivalent, which is performance-based learning, where kids are expected to perform and get a good grade, and it's all about the grade. And what's been happening over the course of time is that the more and more we put pressure on kids to go through standardized tests, we take God out of schools, we work on getting them to perform more and build up their skills, who they are is missing. And now what are we hearing more? We're hearing more about trauma. We're hearing more about identity. We're hearing more about confusion.
We do. But, Ronnie, coming up to a break.
Okay.
And when we come back from that break, I'm going to – you're going to be one of our official contributors to What's Right, What's Left Ministries there in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
We need for you to keep your ear to the ground and let us know exactly what's going on in your neighborhood. In that state. So
right, absolutely. Okay, Pastor.
So when we're coming up now,
sure.
When we come to this break, we're going to hear from a woman who was big in the LGBTQ to transform children into, well, into what they weren't, what's totally against nature, against God and nature. And she's going to tell her story because now she's come out and she's working continuously to try to undo what she was doing. And so we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight. What?
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.